Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today we're exploring more of the paranormal with Patrick, Bridget, and Mike from the Alternate Route podcast. They've been doing their podcast for about 5 years, had some fascinating guests and stories about everything from UFO sightings to hauntings to forbidden archaeology to giant spiritual boulders and, of course, the old favorite, Bigfoot. We're going to talk about some of that. And Mike's even had some experiences himself. He'll tell us what he saw when he was a kid. Michael's also in the Air Force for 10 years, so he's talking about Project Blue Book, which was the military's program for investigating UFO sightings and encounters. Got lots of paranormal ground covered today with Patrick, Mike, and Bridget from the Alternate Route podcast. Okay, so we're here in Fargo, North Dakota, and the cool thing about Talk is Jericho is we do a lot of paranormal shows, and paranormal stuff happens everywhere in the United States, even all the way up in the wilds of Fargo, which incidentally, I used to come here for vacation because I grew up in Winnipeg.
No, so absolutely.
Thinking of Fargo as the vacation destination is kind of strange, but we always came up here to see concerts and that sort of thing. But,
absolutely.
But you guys, it's Patrick and Mike and Bridget from the Alternate Route, or is it Route?
That's the thing.
Depends on where you're from,
every
right?
Other guest we've had has pronounced it differently. Depends on where you're from.
Yeah. Right, right.
Alternate Route. Alternate Route.
So what made you guys decide to start a paranormal podcast?
Well, it's kind of funny how that started, because when we first originally began the podcast, my fiance Bridget and I, we started it just out of kind of curiosity, and we wanted to do something fun. And after a while, I kind of, just on a whim, I threw out a funny, silly tweet on Twitter. Thank God for Twitter, right? And for whatever reason, Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters replied to me. I was like kind of whining about the lack of followers we had at the time. Mm-hmm. And Dustin Perry from the cast of Ghost Hunters decided to respond to me and said, like, well, okay, if you're having problems, then here you go. I will follow you.
Just randomly?
Just randomly. Wow. And I was kind of taken aback by that. And was, well, it's like, well, that's really cool. You know, we have always been fans of the show. You know, anything paranormal is always intriguing and fun. And so I replied to him. I was like, you know, I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. I said, you know what, Dustin? Our show isn't really about this at this time and stuff, but would you like to be a guest on our show? And he wrote back. He said, like, as long as I am able to rant about his philosophical and spiritual beliefs, I'd be happy to do it. Next week, he was on the show, and then all of a sudden, I was like, I think we kind of landed on something cool
yes,
here.
We did. We definitely did.
Yeah, and I just went from there, and I started just randomly requesting well-known figures from the paranormal field to appear on the show, and, you know, 5.5 years later, here we are.
It's one thing I've noticed that when you have a show where you are serious about, you know, this sort of thing, there's a lot of people want to talk about it. Like, yeah. So you, like you said, you can go to the top guys and they'll go on every show.
Yeah.
Because they're just looking, like, they'll do Art Bell, Coast to Coast, and everything kind of along the lines. So it's a really cool, like, it's a kind of a small community as far as people interested in it.
Yes.
But you can get some really great guests when you have,
absolutely,
you know, when you have just a forum for them to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, how did you get involved, Mike?
Well, we've been friends for many years, and, like he said, I started just as kind of a guest host, I guess, or
yeah,
a guest
absolutely
on the show.
A special guest, yes.
Yeah, special. And it just kind of fell into place where I, you know, we had a lot of fun together. We clicked really well together.
I mean, obviously, you know, Mike has obviously been fascinated by the paranormal his whole life.
Well, you mentioned that you had some experiences. What kind of experience did you have?
Oh, gosh. Oh. How much time do you got?
Let's just say that Mike is kind of a sensitive when it comes to that.
Oh, kind of a conduit for that sort of thing?
Well, it seems like it. I've had experiences ever since I was a little kid. But when we moved to Park Rapids and when we first became friends with Patrick and Bridget, we lived in a house that was extremely haunted. I mean, a lot going on, seeing things.
Your wife's nodding your head.
Amazing. Yeah. And then that's where we started.
What kind of stuff did you see in the house?
Oh, well, my wife, she saw a man walk through our hallway into the bathroom. And nobody was there after we checked.
That wasn't Mike coming out of the bathroom.
No, it wasn't. I'd be sitting in my easy chair, and I'd have a ball of light come up from the floor up to the side of my chair and down my arm, and it'd float off into the air. I mean, tennis ball-sized ball of light.
Does your house have any history? Or
it does. Did some research. And in the 70s, there was a little girl. I think she was like 3 years old, and she was playing in the garage, and the garage door was held up by a water ski, I believe,
yep,
Lakes Country. And it fell on her and killed her. And one of the experiences that we've had with the house was hearing a woman's voice talking and saying something about that little girl.
And the crazy thing about that one, we actually attempted to do our own like EVP recordings.
Yeah.
Electric voice phenomena. Everyone in the world knows what that is.
The kind of the apparatus that can record sounds.
Any sort of digital recording device that somehow picks up stuff that we can't hear
with
our ears. But we were just sitting there talking around. We had our device on the table, and I believe Mike and Pam were talking about this, and they said, you know, this is another thing. Every single night, this door is always left open. We cannot figure. We shut it. It's latched. It's shut. It's latched. Every morning, the door is open and stuff. And you hear us in the background. We're kind of talking, joking a little bit about what he was saying. I was like, oh, it's just breeze, Mike. It's nothing, you know. You hear us walking down the steps into the basement. And then all of a sudden, you hear very clearly the words, "It's Debbie."
A woman's voice.
A woman's voice, very clear voice that says, "It's Debbie." Looking into it, the name of the child that got unfortunately killed was
Debbie. Yes.
And so that was also set us along our little trajectory of
fascination.
Yeah, when you have your own personal experience and when you can't explain it, it does definitely, you know, whet your appetite to want to know more about these sort of things.
Absolutely.
And as we were talking about, you guys have had a lot of interesting subjects that you brought up, Patrick, to talk about that I don't really know anything about.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the last paranormal show I did, I can't remember who it was with. Maybe with a cryptozoologist that I was working with for this Travel Channel show. And he goes, you're like becoming a paranormal expert now, as far as this goes. Because I have a little bit of knowledge about so many of the subjects. But what you were talking about that you text me earlier are some things I know nothing about.
Yeah.
And just to kind of jump right in, what you had mentioned was what 1111 means.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, explain what that even refers to.
Well, 1111 is essentially an unexplained phenomenon. Let's just start right there. It's something that a lot of people across the world have experienced, but no one really necessarily understands what it's all about unless you like do a deep dive
experience,
into it.
How do you mean?
Let's say the number 1111 pops up more often than it should to be a simple coincidence. You could be at the fast food joint. You get your receipt. It says 1111 on it. You happen to look at the clock. Random times of the day, any time of the day, always happens to be 1111. It happens more often than it should just be a coincidence. And if you do, like I was mentioning, a deep dive into what potentially this means, it's pretty deep. It blows your mind, so to speak.
It's funny because when I was growing up in high school, my friend always used to see 12-12.
12-12, there you go.
So this is kind of related?
It's kind of related, exactly. And with 1111, just the number one is very spiritual in the sense that it's related to the number three. Three is the spiritual
trinity. The Holy Trilogy, yeah. Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Absolutely. Right. And Hinduism is very familiar with
three.
I have to preface first before I kind of dive into that. Well, it was about 2 years ago when Mike and I were still going back. We're still doing the podcast. I was just being inundated with seeing this 1111 out of nowhere. And I wasn't familiar with what the heck it could have possibly meant, what it could be. And I was kind of getting freaked out about it because I saw it a lot. And I didn't know why. I was like, why is this popping into my life every day? I texted Mike and I said, Mike, have you ever experienced this 11-11 phenomenon, so to speak? And is it something I should be concerned about? Or is it something that is positive? And you immediately wrote back and said, no, it's very positive.
Very positive. It's a very spiritual thing. It's like your spirit guides are supposed to be trying to contact you, make you look at what direction you're going, or
yes,
let you know that you're going in the right direction spiritually. Or
it's kind of a wake-up call.
Right.
That's kind of like if
like a sign or something?
Like kind of like, right, a sign. It's
like a signpost?
It's from what I've read about it, too, it almost seems to start occurring more often, like when you reach 40. And that seems kind of funny and weird, but that's what I've read, and that's what I personally experienced. I just turned 40 years old 2 years ago, and that's when this stuff started popping up. So that's another reason it was kind of freaking me out. It's like, okay, that's a little bit too coincidental.
So what is the significance of it, though? I don't understand, Mike. You said it's a positive thing. In what way?
Yeah.
Well, it can tell you that you're going in the right direction. It's telling you to look all around you and take in what is positive around you and live that.
So if you're not seeing 11-11, you're in
no,
trouble?
That's not it at all.
Not at all, no.
Well, it's, and again, I'm going to use the big word preface again. Mm-hmm. Seth. We are in no way experts. Let me get that clear to your millions of listeners.
The sources here.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it's something that it's a wake-up call. You right. have to, it's reminding you that you are the embodiment. You are the creator of yourself. Mm-hmm. You have complete control of your destiny. You need to focus, as we can't emphasize positivity enough. I mean, it's just the longer, the
where,
more often.
Where is this coming from, though? Where are you reading it at? Like,
oh gosh.
Is it something that you find like in, ancient Hindi texts or something?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. And it's, as far as like the number of, another thing I was reading up on again was the number of ascended individuals. Mm-hmm. Let's say like, the Buddha,
ascended masters,
Jesus himself. Mm. Again, apparently it came to number 11. There's 11 quote unquote ascended
spiritual figureheads, sort of
yes.
thing, like Jesus,
exactly.
Buddha,
yes,
etc. Okay,
absolutely.
And how are they related by the 11?
It's just that number itself.
Oh, okay, just one
yeah.
of them. I got you.
Yeah,
11
exactly.
of them. Yeah,
and there's just so many coincidences with this number 11 that occur. I mean, a lot of we're emphasizing positivity. One of the absolute negative ones is obviously the tragedy of September 11th. Mm. Now you might be getting kind of silly when you're looking at some of the supposed coincidences with 9/11 itself. I mean, obviously the simple one, there's like 9/11, 9 plus 1 plus 1 is 11. Unfortunately, it was flight 11. That first crash into the Twin Towers.
Yeah, yeah.
The first tower to collapse in exactly 11 seconds. there
now it's
are
a little bit deep.
Well, I don't know. Is this all coincidence? That's the thing that kind of blows your mind. Flight 175 had 65 people aboard. 6 plus 5 is 11. I mean, there's so many. That flight 11, again, had two pilots and nine attendants. 2 plus 9, 11. I don't want to get into the minutia of all these little
the numerology
numerology aspects, the coincidental aspects, but it's too much to ignore. That's kind of what we're getting at. That's kind of the focus of our podcast. Our podcast is that we just love throwing out these ideas. Just we want people to open their mind. We want people to discuss the possibility that there's something behind this, then learn for themselves.
Well, that's the whole concept of what we're talking about. We're talking about paranormal anything, is you can't make people have faith. Either they have it or they don't. Yeah. The whole concept of Christianity, if you want to get into it. So I think it's always better to have an open mind and what if these things could be true,
yes,
rather than, oh, there's no way this could ever happen. Yeah. And then you kind of shut yourself off from that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the forbidden archaeology.
Oh gosh,
that you mentioned, because the 11-11 kind of whetted the appetite. But like, what's going on with the forbidden archaeology?
Do you want me to tackle this one, too, Mike? You know, you're allowed to speak too.
Absolutely.
As I'm holding the mic away, microphone away from Bridget.
Oh, I'm good.
She's just sitting there looking.
She's having a good time.
Yeah. She does have a lot to say.
But I'm usually the bummer in this situation, and I always have like a almost opposite.
What do you think about the 11-11 thing?
I think the 11-11 thing, I believe in the power of suggestion. Like if you tell somebody 11-11, it means something. It's positivity. Well, I could tell you, 423 is a magic number. And then you're going to end up seeing that more and more often. And that's what I do on our show is I kind of like snap these guys.
You're the devil's advocate, right?
Yes,
but you need that too, though, right?
Yeah, you do.
Because
you need that opinion.
You have to have that sort of diversity because you can't just be all together like, yes, amazing.
Yes, exactly. I keep it interesting.
Yes. Because, I mean, the whole numerology is very interesting and the coincidences of numbers. And if you add this and subtract this and add this, but it's much like, you know, Paul McCartney is dead and the cover of the Abbey Road, 27 IF. He would be 27 if he had died on this day. And there's the Hindu that says you're born at 1 year old. It's like, you guys are really stretching on this.
Yes.
But it's fun to talk about.
It's definitely.
And it's very creative, you know?
But I love making their jaws drop sometimes. So. It's fun.
So delve into the forbidden archaeology.
Well, I would say, what I've read up on it is forbidden is kind of a misnomer. It kind of sounds like it's like a evil term almost. It's forbidden. Mm. But forbidden archaeology has been forbidden from the scientific establishment. It's something that is out there. Certain archaeologists, certain paleoanthropologists have very strong beliefs, and I'm doing the air quotes, quote unquote, evidence that there is such a thing of forbidden archaeology. But again, the main establishment is saying, no, this is all a bunch of hooey. It's all a bunch of a bunk. But make a long story short, forbidden archaeology is essentially finding fossils, finding bones in sediment that just doesn't make sense. It suggests that humans are a heck of a lot older than we all commonly have come to believe. Whereas,
how do you mean, explain?
The first human, the anatomically similar skeleton that we are all familiar with as humans, bipedals, 200,000 years ago, roughly. Forbidden archaeology suggests, and it sounds crazy, that there have been fossil bones, anatomically similar human fossil bones that have been found in sediment, rock, possibly 65 million years old.
Hmm.
Right at the beginning of the tertiary period, which is right after the Cretaceous period. I'm an old dinosaur nerd, so that's the only reason I know that. But that's a heck of a lot longer than the establishment would like us all to believe. Again, we're not suggesting that this is fact, that it's real, but there's a lot of intriguing evidence.
But why
evidence.
Would the establishment want you to believe that humans are only 200,000 years old, not 65 million?
Because it just doesn't make sense. It totally goes against what we have been taught since we've been kids. Mm. It goes against what they say.
It's interesting,
so that's not,
when I've had
not
the,
right.
the flat earth, not even society, flat earth believers will tell you the same thing. Well, how can the earth be flat and why would they allow it? Because they don't want you to go against everything that you've learned since, your first year of grade school.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. You did have a flat earth guess on
that. A couple times, And like I said, it's very controversial.
Sure.
And to me, I'm Switzerland, man. I'm the middle man, So what other examples of forbidden archaeology or facts that they don't want us to know are you aware of?
Well, there are certain, I don't know the exact names and dates again, but there are two in particular paleontologists who had discovered, again, sediment that just doesn't make sense. The sediment, they use what's called radiometric dating. It uses radioactive, materials to date the fossils that are found in the sediment in the soil, and it just does not make sense. And the soil itself is younger than the bones. The fossils, which is just like, okay, that just...
How can that be?
And again, it's using this... I mean, these are people who are a heck of a lot smarter than I am, than I can ever wish to be. And the funny thing is about these particular fossils that have been found is that a lot of, cynics right away who jump on and say, there's no way that that's possible, there's no way that that's real, is they say, well, why can't people just dig a hole and bury bones in this... they find older bones, and then they find some fairly recent sediment, some rock, and they bury it there. Again, with their technology, how they know how to do this, way smarter than I, they are able to prove that the soil itself has not been disturbed. It has not been moved. There's no way has it been changed or altered, and yet this fossil is still buried in this sediment. And it just makes you, again, things that make you go, hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Interesting, because I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, like giant animals and that sort of thing that also, you know, they don't want you to think actually giant rats and giant beavers and all these different mm-hmm. things that they found as well. Kind of that would fit into the same
absolutely.
Category as this?
It would. Absolutely.
There's actually giant skeletons that were supposed to have been found of human skeletons,
yes.
like 12, 14 feet tall.
Right.
And that's even just not far from here in Minnesota. There's a place that they supposedly found these giant skeletons, but they're covered up. They don't want it known.
But why
and you're saying they covered... That's not just you're not just saying it's covered in dirt.
Right.
You're saying that it's been covered up.
Yeah. Government conspiracy.
But once again, why I mean, you know, because the government doesn't want us to think that there was giants, but what I mean, there are giants. We know
right.
I know giants, 7 foot tall
exactly.
guys.
Absolutely.
So why would it be so hard to believe that there wouldn't be a 12 foot guy? And if there was, well then why would it have to be hidden? It doesn't
I mean, the tallest human ever, Robert Wadlow, was 9 feet tall.
Right.
So and that was almost going on 100 years ago. Where is the possibility?
It's like finding a giant fish or something where it's like once in a while you'll get just a freak of nature.
Yeah.
So if there's a 9 foot, then if you told me there's a 12 foot, I'd go, well, that's not like,
that's
doesn't upset my views of, right. of,
yeah.
of science or morality or government.
Right.
So what's the point of covering it up?
You tell us, Chris. That's
you tell us, Bridget. Give us your side of the coin.
What's your side?
Well, I don't know. Oh gosh, see, this could go on forever. It's just I do firmly believe that government covers up a lot of things. What the purpose behind it is, I'm not quite sure.
Only they know.
They don't want you to believe anything than what you've been told. Mm-hmm. You know, and that just I think that'll continue on for a very, very long time, even when it comes to aliens and all that kind of stuff. They're always gonna try to stop you from it. And that's like religion too. A lot of religion doesn't want you to think like the possibility of UFOs and
Other religions.
I don't want you to believe any of that stuff. Yeah, I just
it's almost like they're trying to they're almost trying to suppress our knowledge.
Exactly.
Or they
exactly.
don't want us to know what they know. And again, we don't tout ourselves as a conspiratorial podcast.
Right. But there is elements of that into all that we talk about.
Oh,
here.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're talking about anything, you know, if you're talking about demonic possession, if you're talking about UFOs, you're talking about, you know, Bigfoot you mentioned, like all that stuff. I mean, we've had documentation of it, but either the church doesn't want you to know about possession or, you're talking about government conspiracies involving UFOs. That's another topic that you dropped on me.
Yes.
This is your wheelhouse, Bridget?
This is Bridget's wheelhouse.
Well, let's talk about it then.
Okay.
Take over, Rover.
The government has known... of, you know, UFOs for many, many decades, you know, going back as far as Roswell and even further back than that.
This is opinion or this is
the
fact?
The knowledge that no, this is real.
Is your opinion or you actually have facts about this or have talked to people that...
There are papers released, yes,
gotcha.
The Disclosure Project, yes, it does prove that, yes, there were alien landings, there were bodies found, there were aircrafts recovered, but the government... tries to cover up so much about this stuff. And I have a firm belief that a lot of that has to do with clean energy. Like there's so much technology that would be available to the human species all around the world that could create so much energy to where things would be simple, free, basically. Mm-hmm. And where's the money in free? You know, kind of where is the money in a cure for a disease? You know, mm-hmm. there's no money in that. And that's what I think runs the world is this paper that we have deemed, you know, is worth something.
Sure.
And I think that's going to keep a lot of things secret and it's going to hold things back from just, you know, the advancement of human nature. I do believe we're about 100 years behind technologically than where we should be right now. You know, we should be way more advanced than we are just because they want to keep these secrets because there's money in the secrets.
And they don't want to lose any control.
Exactly.
Also.
Exactly.
Well, that's kind of the whole crux of you know, one of the theories of the JFK assassination is that he was
yes.
going to stop, you know, the Bay of Pigs. He was going to stop mm-hmm. the war in Vietnam and all these mm-hmm. other things, which is just printing money.
Exactly.
You know, if that's the case. It's interesting to me because you're thinking about, I have a Tesla, and I'm sure General Motors et al. Are terrified of the concept of a Tesla because it doesn't need a motor, nor does
yes.
it need oil, nor does it need gas. I'm surprised that Musk was able to get that through the goalposts.
Exactly.
Yep. Because you think about it, like there's giant corporations that are going to go out of business unless they start looking into electric cars.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that kind of blows my mind.
It does. But I think with losing some of these jobs, you know, like the oil business and everything, mm-hmm. if we were to have clean energy, like it's going to create so many other jobs. So many more things are going to be open to humankind that it's just more jobs on the way. So I don't understand why people get so scared.
But you're talking about government conspiracies involving UFOs. You're saying the UFOs can provide clean energy to us?
Oh, yes.
The technology.
Yeah, the technology that they have on board on these ships to travel, you know, light speed and just, you know, it's unbelievable. Mm. It's like those engines that they have, they could do so much for anything and everything here on this planet.
What else are you talking about when you mentioned, you know, governmental conspiracies involving UFOs? Was that the crux of it, or is there more to it?
That was essentially the crux that we were getting at as far as...
Have you had a lot of guests on that have, you know, UFO encounters?
Well, Mike and I are familiar. Were you interviewing Chad Meek with me? That kind of segues into the Giant Rock suggestion that we were talking about earlier. Again, we're not experts on this and stuff. I suggest him as a guest for your show. Mr. Chad Meek.
Did he used to do Art Bell?
He was on Art Bell several times.
Yeah. I'm an Art Bell fanatic.
Oh gosh.
I was bummed out when he passed away, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, Mike is another aficionado when it comes to UFOs and all that stuff.
What do you got, Mike? Give us some stuff. Some of your research that you've learned.
Well, I don't know. For my personal experience, I did see something that was strange. I was out on my back deck and like 3 o'clock in the morning, just looking at the sky and enjoying that cool air and everything. And from way to my left off in the distance, I saw like orange lights, and it came through the sky in front of me and then disappeared on the other horizon. And it was three orange lights in a triangle, and it was moved faster than anything you could even imagine. And I've read things about that where people have seen these things, like a triangle craft or whatever, but these were just three orange lights. I don't know if it was a formation of three, or it could have been, you know, a light on each corner of a triangle, but that was pretty amazing.
Hmm.
And I've believed in that, in this, since I was a little kid. My dad got it from him. He was always a believer and learned a lot from him. And
right. So how about some of the people?
Mike is also an Air Force guy too. Did you just so everyone knows, I like touting him. He's like my best friend. He's a 10-year Air Force veteran. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
So what's the overall attitude from the Air Force when it comes to UFOs? Because you know that they've seen many things.
They know, and that's another government cover-up thing. I believe they have a special unit, whatever, that investigates things. And there was Blue Book back in the 60s that they supposedly, you know, went through that and investigated so many different sightings. And
Project Blue Book was kind of in charge of UFO sightings and encounters.
Right. And then they supposedly came to the conclusion that there's nothing to it. Weather balloons.
They're all weather balloons.
Yeah. Never seen a weather balloon in my life. Yeah. Don't even know what the hell it is.
Absolutely.
Right.
But supposedly they had dropped that. But I have heard that there's something, I don't know what the name of it is, another program that's some secret program. And if it's secret, I don't know how it came out. But I have heard that there's some, you know, investigating still going on.
Well, the government finally just released the actual, you know, facts that there was a project ongoing, dedicated specifically to
there was
UFO
Project
research.
Blue Book.
Yes.
Yeah, they have
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think they spent only $15 million on it, which is like absolutely nothing.
Chicken feed, right?
Yeah, but kind of shows you how dedicated they were not to that. But it's I kind of personally, and we all feel the same way. It's just really nice to see that even though it's bit by bit, little by little, these facts are finally coming out, finally being released,
there's
finally being open to the public.
That's coming out with some things that's pretty interesting, yeah.
Like what?
Well, there is those cockpit videos from that jet that...
No, actual air footage from the cockpit.
From an Air Force plane, yeah. And they showed that on mainstream media, and that was very interesting. I mean, very... compelling.
Because if they wanted to shut it down, they could.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't be on TV. I don't know if that would have been on television in the media.
What did Meek tell you?
Well, the whole thing about that giant rock is, I'd have to go re-listen to our interview with him. Essentially, Mike, was it his uncle or was it his father?
His uncle. Actually, it started out back in the 30s where there was a guy that... It's this large boulder, like seven stories
it's tall. Literally a giant rock.
Yes, seven stories tall.
Where?
It's in the Mojave Desert, actually, yeah. And it started out with this one man that he was doing some work around there, and he actually had blasted out underneath this rock and built a 400-square-foot home for himself underneath this rock. And he was the one that started. And then Chad Meek's uncle came in a little bit later. I think it was in the 30s. And he got into where this rock was supposed to be some energy source where you could go into this these rooms underneath the rock and you'd be rejuvenated. And a lot of this information that he got, he supposedly got from a being from... a Venusian being from Venus,
yes.
You know, whether there's life there or not, I wouldn't say. But so he was developing that and making some machinery that was supposed to, you know, be the rejuvenating and make people younger and communicate with alien species, whatever. And as he was doing that, he died just before he got that finished. So it was... it was all lost, I guess, but...
But his son is, or his nephew...
His nephew...
Chad Meek, who we're talking about, he's continuing this. I believe he has a movie project out that he's putting together. If it has not been released already, I do not...
So the giant rock has rejuvenation powers and is not from this Earth sort of thing?
Well, it's been there forever. It's been there for eons because it goes back even a couple of thousand years where... natives would actually meet there. They'd do ceremonies there, and that would be like a source of energy, and they believed that it was like a doorway to
dimensions other,
right?
You know, other dimensions.
So it goes way back as far as like with the natives, and then even like from the 50s up into the 70s, I believe, every year they'd have a UFO convention there, and a lot of contactees or abductees would go there, and they'd have days of
spiritual awakening again.
Isn't that kind of the whole concept behind the pyramids as well, what they say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The pyramids are kind of same type of an idea as that.
Yep,
I would
absolutely
agree so, yeah.
Just one big battery of energy.
Yeah, source. Battery of energy, exactly.
Right.
Kind of put there, mm-hmm. unbeknownst to us, how it could even be there in the first place, right? When you talk about having your podcast for 5.5 years, tell me about some of the best guests that you've had, some of the strangest stories that you've heard.
Oh, gosh. Where do we start?
Andrea Perrin.
I've had her on before.
Yeah, when we had Andrea Perrin, did you have like technical difficulties when she was on your show?
I did not, but tell me what you have and I'll tell you what I have.
Well, when she first came on, she warned us because Patrick and I...
And she, by the way, is one of the family that's in The Conjuring.
Exactly.
One of the actual daughters. They were
the
children at the time.
Yes.
Yeah, the real life people that lived The Conjuring that then became this Hollywood.
Yes. You know. And she also has a book trilogy out, House of Darkness, House of Light. Check it out.
Yeah.
Great series. But when we had her on, she warned us right away because Patrick was at his house, I was at mine, and she was wherever she was at the time. And she warned us right away, you know, sometimes the powers that be, they just don't want me to speak and there happens to be problems. And never before had Patrick and I ever experienced any kind of difficulties when interviewing somebody via Skype. There was never any problems. But the second we pushed that record button, all of a sudden Patrick's gone. We can't hear Patrick. He can hear us because he was texting me, letting me know. I'm all starstruck. I'm sweating bullets. I can't take this. I'm talking a mile a minute, kind of like I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
But just in and out constantly with her. And after about a half an hour, Patrick finally came back in. We could hear him again, and then everything went smoothly from there on out.
Well, it wasn't even necessarily an issue with connection with Skype, because that can happen.
Yeah.
But to anybody, anywhere and stuff. But literally, my equipment all stopped working. My router, the mixer, the recorder, nothing was there. And it's like, what is going on? This is kind of odd. And then I finally came back and she's like, hey, finally, hi, Patrick. This is Andrea.
It was nerve wracking.
Yeah. When I went to her house in Winter Park, Orlando area, Winter Haven, Winter Park. And, you know, talked to her. She's really nice and cool lady, but her dad was there. And he was hanging out in the background. And I could tell, like, he did not want her talking about these experiences that they had, you know, that had lived through as a family. And, dude, he started slamming countertop doors and loudly making food. And it was
oh my
like,
gosh.
he does not want me here. And it was really creepy. Like, that, you know, he was kind of laughing about like a curmudgeonly old guy, but it was it was almost like he was like, you know, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know?
Even in her book series, she does bring that fact up that when she wanted to tell the story, her family was not game.
Not into
there
it.
There was so many of them that did not want any part of it, but eventually they all gave in their piece, but doesn't mean that they're happy about it.
Right. Yeah. You could just see, and there was a vibe because she said, like, this house is haunted as well. Because she's haunted. Wherever she goes, they find them. And it was just very creepy to be in there. And I was almost like, you know, if they asked me to, like, go downstairs or something, I'm not going. Because I'm going to get Blair Witched here, you know? But, yeah, you could just feel, like, it's not that she's a super nice lady, but just when you meet people like that, you can feel it. You can feel the difference in just the vibe of the air, like in the electricity of the atmosphere that you're in, you know? Tell me some others.
We've had several talking to Amy Allen from the television series Dead Files. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her.
I don't know that. What is
that? It's very successful. That's yes. Travel Channel, correct? Or
yes,
they finally
Travel
get
Channel.
Yeah. She is a self-proclaimed medium / psychic who, you know, you can kind of figure out by the name of the show. She speaks to the dead to help solve unsolved crime sometimes, just mysteries, and she works with a man named Stephen DeShavi, who is a retired police detective, New York homicide detective and stuff. It's a fascinating show. Talking to her was really interesting. Every now and then, it's kind of intimidating to talk to people who seem like on another level from you. Well, I will say that she made us relax right away by dropping the F-bomb within like 1 second, so that was good.
Yeah, I felt right at home.
What kind of tales did she have to tell you?
Oh my gosh. Well, she kind of really just talked about how the show works, you know, and how, you know, their filming schedule and, you know, and all that jazz. I've thrown a cheap plug. If you want to listen to it, go listen to the Alternate Route podcast, Chris, and all your listeners.
Hey, man, calm down, man. I will.
Trust me. She always tells me this on the show, too. It's like she's the yang to our yin, the yin to our yang.
But so, like, what's some of the stuff that she would do if she's talking to the dead?
How would you say that? Well, how...
Well, the way she says is she's almost got like this wall in her head, like a block. And when she gets ready to do an investigation or anything like that, she kind of has to let this wall drop. Otherwise, she would be hounded by the dead 24/7 and she'd go insane and never get a moment's peace.
Really?
Yes. So when she's always there. There's dead people everywhere all the time.
So when she lets she has to keep her mental kind of shield up.
Yes.
But then when it comes down, anybody can
come in at any time. I mean, it's unbelievable to me and maybe you because we have no idea what it's like to have these kinds of abilities. But it's a lot of work. And she said that it took her years to learn how to put that wall up so that she could have a moment's peace and watch a TV show and not be bothered. And yeah, very intimidating. But she did say that the dead people are very polite and they'll wait in line one at a time, you wow. know, to get their point across. So she was very, very fun to talk to.
I had an exorcist on called Rachel Stavis was on, and her exorcisms aren't Christian based. They're more vibration and she sees attachments on people. And like, and same as what you're saying with the wall coming down and kind of this, she's like, she just walks through life seeing, oh, that person's got attachment, that person's got attachment, you know, and it's just, it seems a very strange existence to have to deal with that sort of a thing, you know, on a constant basis.
Yeah, I would personally feel way inundated. I would go insane.
Right.
I think any normal person would, like Amy, like you said, Amy, she learned how to shut it down just so she could have a normal life.
So what other kind of subjects that you talked about on your show? Because you mentioned, obviously, you know, the standards are your UFOs and that sort of thing and ghosts and that stuff. But is there other topics that you've learned about over the last 5 years that you didn't know?
A very common one is like the Bigfoot.
Well, we can talk about that for sure.
In particular, we have a guest on. His name is Ron Moorhead. We had him multiple times, actually. And he is well known in the cryptozoological world as being the man who supposedly recorded Bigfoot vocalization interactions with with campers in their campsite in the Sierra Mountains in California. If you're intrigued, if you're interested,
you're talking about the screams?
Sierra Sounds, yeah. Absolutely. Sierra Sounds, the interactions that took place not only during like one summertime out in the Sierra Mountains, but over a course of over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And these, talking to him, his suggestions, as far as his further research has gone after these years of supposed vocal interactions with this unknown species, is that he has come to the conclusion that Bigfoot is not just a physical being. Bigfoot is a spiritual being that crosses over from dimension to dimension, which kind of goes in line with why a lot of times with supposed Bigfoot sightings, viewers have said that they also see glowing lights, mysterious lights, almost like UFO lights.
But that makes perfect sense. That's why you've never found like a corpse or anything like that from a Bigfoot. You know what I mean? Because if they are interdimensional, it explains a lot of what it could or couldn't be.
Absolutely.
That's always a question that comes up. Well, where's the bodies at?
Yeah,
you know, where's the excrement? Where's the bodies? Right.
Exactly.
You know, all that sort of stuff, right?
And then the easy argument too is like, well, how often if you're walking in the woods do you come stumble across a bear carcass or a bear, bear bones?
That's
I mean, it's kind of silly, but you know, when you think about it, it's like, yeah, I guess I never really have seen a bear bone.
But it would be. Yeah, I would suggest that people look that up and listen to it because these vocalizations and screams are the most unearthly sounds that you could imagine.
It's funny because our bass player, Randy, he grew up in Duluth, Georgia, not Duluth, Minnesota.
Sure.
No, sorry, Dublin, Georgia. And just last night, he was saying he had an encounter of hearing those screams, and he pulled them up on the phone, probably the same ones that you might even be talking about, of just like this blood-curdling scream
amazing.
That came from the forest, you know, in the middle of the night. And that's kind of always one of the things, like, you know, what is this? What kind of a creature could make this type of noise?
I know, and they have done, I mean, again, I hate to sound scientific because I am not, but these vocalizations have been studied thoroughly, and there's no way that human vocal cords could possibly replicate these sounds. Because, again, cynics and skeptics say, well, maybe it's just some hoaxers out in the woods playing pranks on you and stuff, you know, a bunch of bunch of Michael Winslows from Police Academy movies out there in the woods,
or
you know,
a bobcat or a mountain
lion, bobcat Goldthwait out there, you know,
making the sounds and sort of thing, right?
Yeah, it's you know, it's something that it's far beyond that. And sometimes not only are these sounds just blood curdling, they're also eerily similar to humans, which kind of goes back to what I'm going against what I just said, but still it's not in the realm of what a human vocal cord could produce. And I highly suggest to you and your listeners to check out that CD and stuff as well, because there's so many interesting interactions that's going on. If you ever want to hear supposed Bigfoot slamming an outdoor outhouse toilet seat, go listen to that.
It's on there.
And they're trying to figure out what's that going on. Hey, that's Biggie down there by the toilet.
Have you spoken to anybody that's had encounters with any of those type of creatures?
Well, Ron is the main one. I also spoke to, I'm having struggles thinking of his name right now, but he's another archaeologist / paleontologist.
Not Jeff Meldrum,
but I would love to talk to Jeff Meldrum.
M.K. Davis?
Tim Moulton. I've had a couple guests. We've had a couple guests and stuff. No, it's fascinating talking to them. I mean, we learn from all of them.
Well, that's the thing. All those kind of cryptids are very strange. You know, have had people talking about, you know, the Rougarous and the Chupacabras and Mothman and all that sort of stuff. You know, and it's amazing that there's actual so much of that out there where a person can become a cryptozoologist like Lauren Coleman. And, you know, and it's like, is there that many of these things out there? You can actually have museums of it and all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
Have you had Lauren Coleman on your show?
I have, yeah.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, exactly. Because I had a big fascination with lake monsters, too. So, you know, like I said, like all of these type of guests is just more of just curiosity for me to find a little bit more about it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So,
well, I hope that we've helped you a little bit.
So your show is once a week.
Yes.
And is there any guests that you haven't? Like, who's your best guest that you ever had?
Oh, my gosh. You guys have to help me on that one. Who would you enjoy, Bridget?
I just loved Andrea. I loved Andrea Perrin so much. She's my favorite, and I would love to have her back on. Now that I've been going through her books, I would love to have her back on our show.
She's very
Very uplifting.
Yeah.
She makes you feel good. Like, everything about her is amazing. It's like, if there's magic in the world, it's in that woman.
Yeah, right. That's been haunted since being a child, you know?
I think I'm slowly but surely getting every member of the Ghost Hunters television show as
Jason
a guest.
Jason Hawes was a great...
Jason Hawes was a fantastic conversation. Grant Wilson, Steve Gonzalez, Dustin Perry and stuff.
Those guys are all...
Yep, all on the Sci-Fi Channel hit series Ghost Hunters.
And what kind of story, like what's the craziest stories that they're telling you? Because I know, like, what show is Zach Bagans on?
That's Ghost Adventures.
Ghost Adventures.
I listened to your interview with him, too.
Yeah,
that was fascinating.
He was great, yeah. But what kind of stuff, because he's kind of a conduit for spiritual, you know, conversations and all this sort of stuff as well. What are the ghost hunter guys telling you.
I would say that they are a lot, and again, this isn't a shot to Zach because we love Zach. They are a lot more clinical, I would say, if that's a good word to use. They're very laid back, and they look at something that appears to be paranormal. Their first instinct is, that's not paranormal. We're going to try and find the ways to prove that it isn't.
Totally debunk whatever they can.
Yes, the famous
throw
word.
The stuff that might not even be a chance of.
Famous word, debunk.
Right.
Yes.
That's one of their favorite words, yeah.
But no, it's their fascinating conversation. Is one tidbit from talking with Grant Wilson was, I try to get into a lot of how they film the show. And, you know, they're allowed to reveal a certain amount of stuff, I believe. But I had to ask him, it's like, did your producers of your show ever kind of push you towards, again, I'm doing the air quotes, faking evidence for ratings? Because these people, they do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of investigations, and only maybe tens of them make it to air. So they could have 9 out of 10 investigations prove absolutely nothing, and yet they're spending all that money on production, filming stuff. And so I was like, do your producers ever make you kind of like, okay, we got nothing yet again, throw something out there? And Grant is a wonderful guy. He's very spiritual, good Christian man. And he said, well, there's one time where the producer told the cameraman to throw a rock behind their shoulder, hit a tree. They're outside at one point. They wanted them to see that something actually happened. They wanted them to question it and then film it. And Grant was pretty disappointed with that.
Yeah. Well, you do get that from time to time. But I know I did a show for the Travel Channel where we went searching for swamp monsters of Louisiana Bayou. Mm-hmm. And it was a long kind of tale because it starts with voodoo and goes through all of the different myths and mythologies. But the one part, you know, notwithstanding the Honey Island swamp monster, which is more of a Bigfoot type creature. And then there was the Rougarou, which is more of a werewolf, spiritual, dimensional creature.
Sure.
But when we went to the burial ground of this village that had been flooded out, some really weird stuff happened to where I know it was legit because, like, I started feeling like I'd been on a roller coaster, like my insides felt out of whack. And that's where it's like, you know, throw a rock in the forest, do whatever you got to do. But when that feeling came, I was like, dude, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is not fun. Like, this is really, you know, as animals, as human beings, but basically as animals, you have that instinct where, you know, like, get out,
walk away,
walk away, stop messing around with this stuff, you know. And, you know, so it's experiences like that when you're talking about ghost adventures and ghost hunters, and if they do some of the kind of the naughty bits, there's enough real stuff happening because you can tell just by the way those guys are.
Sure, absolutely. You know? can tell legit reactions from fake ones.
Sure, and guys like, you know, it's show business, but you can't get into this subject and not take it with some semblance of seriousness.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not all just a joke. Like, you can't go on the Ouija board and go, ha, ha, ha.
No, absolutely not.
Weird stuff can happen.
I refuse to even look at as I like to pronounce it, a Ouija board.
Ouija board, yeah.
My mom made me burn mine when I was a little kid.
Yeah. Wow.
She did.
Just to make sure, right?
Yeah.
And see, that's why. Then the spirits that were trapped in the Ouija board got mad at you.
Yeah.
I think that's why he's been followed his whole life. I'm telling you, Chris, that guy, Mike Ray over there.
A little kid.
Yep.
You've been followed by just different experiences?
Different experiences.
Because you mentioned you saw a UFO. You mentioned that your house was haunted.
Several houses.
Several. Oh. Yeah. So you could be like Andrea, that's not the house that's haunted. Maybe it's you.
It could be.
Or being followed, right?
But it's always been positive things. Nothing that's ever been too scary. Like when I was like 11 years old is actually the first ghost that I saw, and it was actually a little girl. She was probably about my age, and I was home alone. I was watching Midnight Special on the Queen Mary, New Year's Eve. I remember it so well. And
which is also haunted, apparently, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Haunted. And from one end of the room, I saw a girl coming, and I looked, and she was all white, no color to her, but she was wearing a long, old-fashioned nightgown with long sleeves, kind of roughly around the sleeves and the neck, and she had a braided ponytail. Eyes were closed, a little smile on her face. Her arms are out in front of her just a little bit, and she just went between me and the TV and then down this hall back to where these bedrooms are, and I didn't freak out or anything. It was interesting. I loved it. I mean, I've always been interested in that. But then when my mom and dad got home and I started telling them what happened, then I started getting really excited because I was like talking about it. And my dad, you know, like the way he's always been, well, did you try to talk to her? You know, that's kind of, you know, support that I got with that. So But just like a month later, my mom and dad were sitting in the living room with another couple. And where I saw that girl go into, they saw a large ball of light come from that area and then went into the kitchen. So, you know, it was very interesting. And they figured that was the girl that I saw, just in a different form.
And this is an a point of emphasis that we bring up on our show quite often, is that Bridge and I would like to backhand Mike every now and then because he's so casual about all of his experiences. Bridge and I have not experienced one thing paranormal, and we're still waiting, so we're just like, we're looking at him with a smirk on our face right now.
But once again, it's very rare. You know, it's like not something just because you want it so much doesn't mean that it's going to happen.
That's right. Why it doesn't happen is right. I want it so badly.
And I think, like we said, we've used the word a few times, the buzzword of conduit and mm-hmm. being kind of a window. I think some people are just that.
Yes.
You know, you're probably that, Mike. I know Zach has elements of that, and Andrea, you know, that's just... Rachel, the exorcist, it's just one of those things. Some people can play guitar, and some people can see attachments exactly. on other people that they need to get yeah.
If you
exercised.
Ever have somebody on your show that can remove whatever mental block it is that Patrick and I have that prevents us from being able to see, let us know, please.
Yeah, please.
But with our, you know, some of the ghost hunting that we have done, we've experienced some things, but Patrick is just, he leaves that just open to where, I don't know. It wasn't enough for me. Yeah. You know,
no, I literally have to be slapped
like
in the face.
Like the EVPs that we've gotten that are so...
Well, the one we mentioned earlier was the best one. It's Debbie. It's Debbie is still fantastic. And
but
so.
He still has that in his mind. Well, yeah, I don't know. It's got to come up and slap me in the face and then I'll believe
it. It's amazing, though, like I said, and for people that are skeptics, there's nothing that I can say or that you guys can say that's going to change your minds. But
absolutely.
When you use... And the guys I mentioned on the Travel Channel show, they had EVPs. They had a couple other little... you know, doodads and gimmicks and whistles and bells, but the one would actually spell out what the EVP was hearing.
Mm. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it was like at the right was where all these weird feelings were of the grave. And then the text that came up was said, go left. Huh. And when we went left, it went away. Mm. Like just one little area.
Yeah,
and listen, I'm not like, you know, I'm not, if it didn't happen, I wouldn't say it. I don't want paranormal experiences. I'm not like you guys.
Yeah.
I don't ever want my house to be haunted. I don't want to see a UFO. And that was one of those things where dude, it said go left. And it wasn't some guy typing it because I was holding it.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So I know that it really said left because unless there's some weird remote control thing that's going on. And these guys were even more freaked out than I were, the guys that were running the expedition. So, you know, especially in my world of where, our job is to pull the wool over people's eyes in a wrestling ring, for example, I know when it's real and when it's not.
Absolutely.
So go left was 100% real.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
As we wind down here, Mike, you didn't mention who your favorite guest that you've ever had on the show was.
Oh, I would have to say, well, they're all great. Like,
yeah, sure. In different ways.
But I really enjoyed Chip Coffee.
I mean, absolutely.
Chip Coffee's story?
Another psychic, another medium. Yeah. Fantastic guy.
What did you do, Mike, that you liked?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, just his personality is so awesome. And I don't know. He didn't really do any psychic things on the show.
No.
But just very down to earth, easy to talk to.
Overall, just interesting.
Just very interesting of what he does. And plus,
well, it's a key component, obviously, as you know, as a podcast host and stuff. You know, you have to be open-minded, even if you're very cynical or skeptical yourself. Again, I really enjoyed talking to Chip Coffee, and I didn't want to delve into like, oh, well, prove it, you know.
Right.
Why didn't you tell me a week before that you're going to be on this podcast, you know, all that stuff. I get kind of tired of that, you know, but he was just so polite and so open-minded, and he just kind of like led me down the same path that I hope that I'm going on as far as, you know, staying positive. We talked about, again, another buzzword. We're repeating ourselves. Positive, positive, positive.
But like you said, we were talking about Art Bell earlier. That was the secret of Art Bell, is that he wouldn't suffer fools. If he called up there and he knew you were taking the piss, he'd hang up on you in a second. But
absolutely.
He gave people a forum to say their piece. Didn't judge you either way.
Right.
Absolutely.
Gave you a chance to say what you had to say. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best way to handle subjects like this, because it's very interesting. And to me, I always find as long as the person believes that what they saw happened, mm-hmm. doesn't matter what I believe. Because if they believe it, they're committed to telling the story, and it's always a great story.
Yep.
Whereas, and that's why you just give a nice platform to air those things on. Last question, is there a guest that you're trying to get that you'd love to have?
Zach.
Zach Bagans.
Zach Bagans, yep.
I think I pronounced his name wrong. I was saying Baggins. They're like, was he a hobbit?
Like Bilbo Baggins. Yeah.
Zach Bagans, yeah.
Good old Zach Bagans. Yeah, it's really hard to contact him when you're...
It is, and I've tried to have him on about three times after that first time, and he's always busy. He's got stuff going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, their show is just a giant hit still. Where Ghost Hunters, unfortunately, doesn't air anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
They had some problems with the Sci-Fi Channel and all that stuff.
But Ghost Adventures...
Ghost Adventures is massively successful.
He's a rock star. You know, he's like a rock star ghost hunter.
Absolutely.
The one guest I want to have, and Dave, you guys know Dave and Tim from Beyond the Darkness?
I'd recognize the name. I know
Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They're Minnesota guys, or Minneapolis guys. But they had Dan Aykroyd on once.
Oh, I love Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. He's totally into this.
He's hugely into this. Yeah. And I was like, man, I'd love to have him on.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Just to talk completely about this. You know, we don't have to talk Blues Brothers or, you know, just talk about that sort of stuff. Because there are a lot of people out there who are interested in these type of topics. You know,
when you go and watch those classic movies, Ghostbusters from the 80s and stuff, you know he was doing it with passion. He loved that movie.
It was a passion project for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You also notice that everybody's smoking cigarettes in that movie. If you go back and watch the 80s, he's fixing his car, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Well, cool, guys. I appreciate you doing this. And keep an open mind, everybody, because you never know when you might see glowing orange lights or a giant rock that can rejuvenate you.
Absolutely. Good advice from the Sage of Podcasts.
Yeah. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. You can find the Alternate Route Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes come out every Monday, and you can also follow them on the Twitter at Root Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you so much for thinking about Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. You can follow us on Twitter there as well. It's at Jericho_Cruise. I don't want you to miss out on any important cruise info if you're booked, if you're not, because there's not a lot of cabins left for Part 2. I can tell you we're down to about the last 15% or so. So book your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Come join us when we set sail next January 20th. It's going to be the vacation of a lifetime, led by guest of honor Ric Flair. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that. How about the Wolfpack, the NWO Wolfpack, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Sean Waltman, X-Pac. Jake the Snake Roberts will be there. Booker T doing his Hall of Fame podcast. Queen Charmel joining him. MVP doing his one-man show. Brad Williams is the guest host of the cruise. Vicky Guerrero is the special cruise director, and her daughter and Eddie's daughter, Shaw Guerrero, will be on the ship, and Shaw will be with the Vaudettes, her burlesque troupe. They're going to lay down some cool, some fancy moves for you. Jack Slade, special cruise mascot and keeper of the ice. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson doing 83 weeks live on the ship. Fozzie playing a trio of shows. Farewell to Fear is going to be there. Rubik's Cube, the greatest 80s cover band in the world. Killer Queen, the greatest female Queen cover band in the world. Dave Spivak Project is back. Jared James Nichols will be there. Kick-Ax will be there. One of my favorite bands when I was in high school. AEW providing all the wrestling action. We haven't even begun to announce all the people and all the talent, guys and girls, that are going to be there from AEW. DDP returning to host more live DDP yoga workshops on the ship. Beyond the Darkness will be hosting more creepy paranormal events. Talentless gets longer and longer, and we'll be announcing more incredible names coming up. So book now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com and come rock with Fozzie next month, May 15th in Greenville, South Carolina at the Firmament, May 16th, Greensboro, North Carolina at Cone Denim. Both those shows have Nita Strauss opening, a Talk Is Jericho alumni. May 17th, Virginia Beach at the Lunatic Luau. May 18th at the MMR Barbecue in Camden, New Jersey. July 12th, Mansfield, Ohio, Incarceration. And don't forget Fozzie Unleashed in the West, our whole tour in September of all Western states. Not all, because I'm already getting complaints of states that we're not going to, but all based around our big show opening for Iron Maiden at the Bank of California Stadium in Los Angeles. Go check out FozzieRock.com for all that information. And don't forget, if you're in Liverpool in the Northern England, Scotland area, I will be there this Saturday at the For the Love of Wrestling convention signing with Undertaker will be there, and Ric Flair will be there, and a whole shitload of great people. So go check that out if you're in the area, and check it out this Friday. Tessa Blanchard is going to be here, one of my favorite performers in the world today, third generation, and she has a lot of great stories to tell. All right, till then, see you on Friday. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy, and watch out for all of those forbidden archaeologists.